Blog Talk Radio.
Where was I supposed to go? Hold on. I'll do it.
I am Rachel Elaine, here to welcome you on another trip down the rabbit hole. Lucky for everybody listening tonight, it's the best and spookiest night yet because Halloween, tomorrow, duh. And I am joined, as always, by my two favorite co-hosts in the whole freaking world, Carl Kafer. Say hello.
Say hello, Carl.
See?
Didn't work.
You finally did it for me. And of course, as always, and off of work for the weekend, so he will be here for the whole show today, our favorite man, TC Clark. You want to say hello to the people?
Good evening and welcome from Pittsburgh, or hello from Pittsburgh. Welcome to Pittsburgh if you show up here, but I don't have room to put you up, so stay away.
Just go away. Well, tonight I think we're all really excited. We are wrapping up the final episode of our spooky, spectacular music this season. And we are ending on a wonderfully awesome note. That would be instrumentals and soundtrack songs. And we still haven't decided which one of us wants to go first. So I'm just going to say, Carl, go for it.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Okay, fair enough. I can do this. Give me a second.
You're the one in the studio.
I wasn't exactly.
Carol, can you do this?
Okay. I know where I'm going to start. I know where I'm starting. Okay, now,
most of
us, when we think of Halloween, we think of that wonderful theme from Halloween by John Carpenter. Okay, and that's played way too much. So I'm going to give you one of my favorite themes from a series of horror movies, a series that I love, and that would be Phantasm. And this is the original theme from the original Phantasm by composer Fred Myro. So here we go.
Thank you.
If that isn't some of the downright spookiest shit I've ever heard, Jesus.
So you know what's crazy about it? It's spooky, but there's a soothing feeling behind it. I don't know if you caught that or not, but it's like some of the melody behind it had a soothing feeling over top of the haunting part.
Definitely
different.
And I am so glad that you said that, because I have just determined the order for the rest of the evening. Now, I was going to do one of my other selections, but I think this one is going to work perfectly. If we're talking about soundtrack songs, now this is from a soundtrack, but it's actually a video game soundtrack. That would be the Activision Vampire the Masquerade video game. And it is one of those really creepy, albeit beautifully soothing songs. And that would be by a very little-known band that I happen to love very, very much. And that would be Darling Violetta. The song is I Want to Kill You.
But what did I ever do to you? Seriously.
Oh, I guess you guys get a pass on this one. I am not the least bit ashamed to admit that I own every single one of their albums. And yes, I am shamelessly addicted to their weird little horror pop thing that they've got going on.
That's pretty fucked up.
You didn't like that one?
I'm going to have to listen to it again, like, several years from now, and maybe I appreciate it more.
Okay, so I'm going to jump on the bandwagon here, because Rachel had me put all her music in today, so I've listened to all this. It's the second time I've heard this. The first part I want to say is that real child's voice and that music at the beginning reminds me very, very much of Ennio Morricone and Italian horror. And what is known as the Bambina Diavolo, or the devil as a little girl, which is a very visual thing. And then when they get into that sort of like jazz stuff, and then the ending of that is just so powerful. I think it's a great friggin' tune. I do. I'm gonna be Spotifying these people. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, you should. TC?
Do they list any influences? I mean, like Carl made a reference to like the Italian horn and everything. Do they make any references?
Italian horn.
I haven't really looked into their influences necessarily, but if you listen to some of their other music, you can definitely see that basically, like, it really feels to me like that particular band just gets their inspiration from horror. Actually, you probably have heard them before. Most people don't realize it, but the show Angel, you know, with David Boreanaz and all that, they did the theme song for it. And it's this wonderfully, you know, instrumental, beautiful cello piece that that's actually what got me started on the band, because we know my deep obsession with cellos. So I ended up looking into them, actually.
How many are in the band? How many people are in the band?
I think it's just like three people.
Oh, okay.
Because they keep a really simple setup. And like I said, she doesn't sing in all of the songs. A lot of their work is just instrumental.
Ah, beautiful. So they actually overdub probably a lot of their stuff. I mean, were they multi-instrumentalists?
Yes. That is a good question. You know, I have just been listening to them for all of these years. You know, I got into them, you know, when the Angel came out and I heard the theme song, I was like, I have to hear more of that. And I never really looked beyond that, but it's really a band I should look into, considering I have all three of their albums.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. Cool. And
so I think that leaves you, you got a good selection to counter with.
I had a little segue going there talking about being multi-instrumentalist, because my first song will be probably one of the most well-known movie soundtracks. It's Mike Oldfield, Tubular Bells. And he was rejected by so many record companies at first because he was a 17-year-old kid, you know, producing demos, just instrumental demos. And everybody said, well, this isn't going to sell. And then along came a man named Richard Branson, who was a young entrepreneur and bought a recording studio in Oxfordshire, UK, and gave Mike Oldfield a free week of studio time. And Mike Oldfield played most of the instruments on this album. In fact, the song is actually 23 minutes long. It's a two-sided, you know, A and B song that just keeps running in. It's really cool if you listen to the whole thing, because he'll say, like, Glockenspiel, and you'll hear the Glockenspiel come in. But this album, when he first put it out in 1973, sold very poorly until they picked up the first 4 minutes of the song to make it the theme for The Exorcist. And after it started selling, it actually stayed in the top 10 in the UK albums for over a year. And
that's fantastic.
That's it.
I know the piece you've chosen,
and also,
I am stoked.
Also, the album, when it started selling, actually propelled Virgin Records. you know, because like I said, it was a young Richard Branson who gave him a chance, and he actually, you know, put Virgin Records on the map. So this is Mike Oldfield, yeah. Tubular Bells.
Here we go, Tubular Bells. Thank you. that. Friggin' love that.
Does anybody else go into this, like, trippy, trance-like state every time you listen to that? Because I swear to God,
absolutely.
I was in space just now.
It's called acid flashbacks, okay? Or at least, you know, really good pot flashbacks.
Yeah. Keep in mind, this is a 19-year-old kid playing all those instruments in 1973 and overdubbing, which was very rare at the time. So, I mean, it's just it's such an incredible piece.
Would it be crazy if I said that I actually was thinking about that the whole time? Like, dude, this kid, like, I just have these images in my head of him doing, like, 30 different things, and then it's montaged over the top of itself, you know. Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Like,
I mean, it's just a masterpiece.
It really is. And I'm sensing a theme here so far with us. We all seem to have picked songs that go through, like, a major tonal change partway through.
Absolutely, yep.
I mean, because mine broke down
into jazz. So you know, that was the UK single version. So that's what it was. That was the UK single version. I'm going to go with another masterpiece, but we're only going to do the first part of it. And I don't care how many horror movies you've seen, you've heard this. And it is classic, and I do mean classic because it's J.S. Bach. And just think of Phantom of the Opera as we play the Toccata from the Toccata and Fugue in D minor by J.S. Bach, or Johann Sebastian, as I like to call him. I could play that, you're out of your mind.
I would kill to at least see you try. That would be fantastic. That is one of my favorite pieces, and I think that that's going to lead perfectly into my next piece, which is a friggin' classic. And if you haven't heard this in your life, then I don't know what kind of hole you've been living under, but...
Okay, before we do that, though, I want to hear what TC thinks of that.
Charles, I pictured you in a dungeon playing that on some pipe organ. I was thinking...
I had the same thing going on.
Some hunchback monster. I go, no, no, not some hunchback monster playing it. Carl's playing it. Just with this mad, sinister look on his face. You know?
You have got to get out of my head, PC. I told
coming out
that.
One corner of his mouth, you know? Yeah. Work on that. We want a live one next year, Carl.
Okay, fair enough. I'll work on it.
That's right. Your fucking homework.
You got 1 year.
All right. Well, I think Carl knows where I'm going with this next one. And this is a piece that was originally written by a man named Modest Mussorgsky.
Modesta.
Okay. Well, it was originally written by him, but I believe that Carl pulled the Fantasia version for me. Because it was edited.
Yes.
Night on Bald Mountain is like horrendously long, but it's amazing, all of it. So the performance we're going to hear is actually by the Philadelphia Orchestra conducted by Leopold Stokowski.
And here we go, Night on Bald Mountain.
Thank you.
And there you go, Night on Bald Mountain. If I could go first, I just want to say that when I was young, my mom and my dad would only let me listen to classical music. I remember being very young, like 5 years old, and loving this piece and wanting them to play it again and again and again. So I love this piece. Go ahead, Rach.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I have a few on there like that tonight for myself, because it's not that I was only allowed to listen to classical music. It's that my mother is a classical musician and has been my entire life. So that's what I've grown up around. And, you know, I have heard all of these versions of these classic songs, good and bad. I've seen community orchestras do them. I've seen actual, you know, top name symphonies do these things, and there are certain ones that just that stick with you, that you just you want to hear them over and over again. Like anytime somebody's playing it, I don't care if it's a crappy community orchestra with a bunch of kids in it, I want to hear somebody try, because that piece is just so fun.
What I gathered from it, and not really familiar with it like you two are, but as I was listening to that, I was thinking of like 1920s silent films, perfect soundtrack for maybe the original Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which came out in 1920, or the actual first Frankenstein movie was a silent movie, and that was like in 1910, I believe. But I could see that as a soundtrack, you know. I see,
well,
I see
and
Dr.
they have,
Jekyll
they're
moving around and... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, it actually has been featured on a lot of soundtracks and as a soundtrack. I mean, you may have heard me mentioning earlier, like you were kind of spot on with that. The because the original Fantasia was released in the 30s. And that
40,
was
exactly.
one of the
1940,
animations.
1940.
Oh, was it 40s? I thought
it was 1940.
30s. Okay.
It was 40
Well,
or
the
41.
Original Fantasia was, you know, released around that time, and they did animate, you know, a sequence to Night on Bald Mountain that is just glorious. But I've seen other takes on it, too, not just Fantasia, which most people would associate it with, you know, the demons and erupting from the volcano, the belly of hell, and dancing and wreaking havoc, and then the sun comes up and they all have to go back to, you know, their hidey hole. But it's just so expressive in so many ways that, like you said, it would be perfect for so many different movies, silent films especially.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You know, I'm loving all this orchestrated music we're hearing, the horror films and stuff I'm not familiar with, and being able to sit here and just imagine them in movies. But you know what? I need my rock and fucking roll. I really do. You people. I really do. And I'm going back, like, remember 4 weeks ago when we did the serious music, I was pretty heavy on Alice Cooper and, you know, Alice Cooper-related songs. So he's my go-to Halloween guy. And tonight, as my second choice, we're going to hear a song by Alice Cooper from Friday the 13th, 4. And it's called He's Back. Also subtitled The Man Behind the Mask, and it was off Cooper's 1986 album Constrictor, and the songs played throughout the movie and in the end credits. But he also had two other songs on Friday the 13th part 4, and one was Teenage Frankenstein, which is off the same Constrictor album, and another one was called Hard Rock Summer. But we're going to hear He's Back by Alice Cooper.
And here we go, he's back!
You're with your baby
Well, that's fun.
I'll have a perfect one for you here in a minute.
Yeah, you know, one thing I tried to find out is if he actually wrote that song for the movie, because it sounds like he did. Like I said, it was on his 1986 album, same year, album Constrictor. It was the lead song off the album, but it just seems like he wrote it for that movie.
I think so. I mean, I get that feeling, but I couldn't tell you. I mean, it does seem very branded, like very heavily branded. So,
absolutely. So, but like I said, I couldn't find out anything about, yes, it was written specifically for that movie or not, but let's just assume that it was.
Absolutely. You know what they say in driver's ed, don't assume, but in this case, let's assume.
Let's assume.
There you go. So I'm going to go a little lighter. I think we need to go a little lighter here. And we're going to do the end credit song, the John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China by the Coup de Villes. Now, just so you know who the Coup de Villes are, that would be John Carpenter on bass, Nick Castle, basically most famous for playing the role of Michael Myers in the original Halloween as keyboardist, and Tommy Lee Wallace, who co-wrote the script to Escape from New York with Carpenter, and he's on guitar. So enjoy this one, and if you get a chance, check out the video. It's a friggin' hoot, seriously. And so here we go, Big Trouble in Little China. And I had to do a Carpenter song. Had to.
Of course.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm chair dancing to that.
I love that one. I really, really do. And sticking with the theme of rock and roll and movie, you know, credits and things, I have
hold on, we gotta talk about we go on DC.
Well, I know I'm getting there, but yeah.
Okay, never mind.
What are your thoughts on that one, DC?
That's the second time you did that to me tonight. You thought I left for work again, didn't you?
You know, yeah. I can't help it. I get distracted by the music.
I know. That song for me had a real Richard Roundtree feeling to it. You know who that is, Carl?
Yep, absolutely.
He wrote the theme song from Shaft. Doesn't it have that feeling to it? I mean, I love that
Isaac
song.
Isaac Hayes actually wrote it, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I love that song. Good choice there. Never heard it before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
I guess I really
heard
had nothing to say, and I really had nothing to say, and Rachel could have just jumped over me anyways. Go ahead.
You're too gracious, TC, and I'm sorry about that. I'm just so excited about all this music.
Yeah, I'm just a fucking saint.
Okay. There we go.
All right.
The saint of great
all
weird
right.
music. How about that? All right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm going with our theme here. We were doing, I guess, movie soundtracks at this point, a little bit rockier. I'm gonna raise you one on that, DC, and I'm gonna go for the punk genre. And this one actually was written specifically for the movie, so in like the most sellout move the Ramones could ever do, but also a cheesy fun listen would definitely be Pet Sematary by the Ramones.
Okay, here we go.
Under the altar with a steamboat in Chicago and what alone. Come at the grand light making a sense. The smell of death is all around. And at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares, nobody knows. I'm gonna wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. To the sacred place. This ain't a dream, I can't escape. Molders and fangs are sticking up bones. Spirits moaning among the tombstones. And at night when the moon is bright, someone cries something ain't right. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I curse these days. And at night when the wolves cry out, listen close and you can hear me shout. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. I
I cannot tell you how many times I have fallen asleep to that movie over the years, to those ending credits, and that may be why that one just sticks with me, but you have to admit, that's kind of a weird little earworm.
Oh,
yeah, but you know
I
what?
Don't
I mean,
want to be buried in a pet cemetery. I love it.
That,
interestingly,
it's a song, too.
Exactly,
I mean,
and interestingly enough, it's actually been covered by a bunch of different people, like really interesting bands.
So, you know what's funny about this? Like, you went punk, I'm coming right back at you with punk.
Oh,
punk,
bring it.
Punk for punk with Carl. You are a resident, New York City, CBGB scene guy, and you might know this band. Do you know this band, The Cramps?
Oh, are you kidding? I know exactly who you're playing. And can I just say, fuck yeah?
Yeah, I know. I knew as soon as you saw that on the list, you'd probably wet yourself. But
you're getting a
rousing
chorus of boys for that one.
The Cramps, I mean, they started out in 1976, and they were one of the pioneers of the CBGB whole scene, and we can name bands all day long as you know who played in the CBGB, but it was basically a husband and wife team with a revolving lineup behind them, and this song we're gonna do here is from, gotta look at my notes, Return of the Living Dead. And the song is called Surfing Dead. And it was a one-off song that they recorded just for this movie. So, Carl, let's hear The Cramps.
Here we go.
Ah, my favorite brain suit. Cream.
I'll be quiet until you guys talk.
Well, you know, another thing, and you guys probably picked this up listening to it, yeah, the punk in it, but the Cramps were really recognized as innovators in the whole psychobilly subgenre. And you can feel the rockabilly, psychobilly feel to that song, along with the punk.
Absolutely. Well, they were the first, really, to do the psychobilly. They were the first.
Yeah.
They were the progenitors of that.
Yes.
See,
go ahead, Ray.
I feel like after listening to that, I mean, it really feels like those are probably a major influence for Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, me personally, it's never a bad time to listen to the Cramps, and I do prefer them over some of the psychobilly, like Rob Zombie, so I'm always happy when I get to hear them.
Absolutely.
Well, to me, I respect the Ramones and think they're a great band, but I fucking love the Cramps. Seriously.
Yep.
And Lux Interior and Poison Ivy and God, you know, rest in peace, Lux. You are a friggin' genius. Okay?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go completely different here. Okay? And so there was a movie in 1966 called Seconds. Now, I don't know if either of you have seen it, but it was directed by John Frankenheimer and was about a gentleman who, by John Randolph, who was sort of coerced by this company to get a second life. And he goes through reconstructive surgery and that, and comes out as Rock Hudson. And Rock Hudson is living a life that isn't his. And just think about that for a second. If you're Rock Hudson in 1966 and closeted, okay? He actually understood this role very well in that. And so John Frankenheimer shot it, and he went to a composer by the name of Jerry Goldsmith to do the soundtrack. And this is the suite. So this is my longest piece of the night. But you can get the different moods of the movie. And the opening of the film is this really creepy organ music with this wonderful distorted version of a reconstructive surgery done in like mirror images by James Wong Howe, and it's just frightening as fuck. So this is the Second Suite by Jerry Goldsmith.
Thank you.
favorite horror score of all time, without a doubt.
Horror score?
Yeah.
Say that 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
That one seemed more like Cold Mountain. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
my turn.
Go ahead, TC.
Well, what I was going to say is you could take the most ardent horror fan, horror movie fan, and play this music to them. Say, okay, what movie is this from? I don't know. What movie is this from? I don't know. It's just background of them. But I think what we're showcasing tonight with all these instrumentals is the diversity in not only melodies but instrumentation that was used throughout these songs. You know, it's not just like they, you know, it's the same soundtrack for every horror film. And we're really, really, really showing, you know, some great compositions in there. And this is one of them.
Well, I just want to just finish up with Jerry Goldsmith. I mean, he did so much. I mean, he did the theme to Gremlins. He also did the theme to The Omen, and he's done so much over the years. The man was just an amazing. And the thing about this particular score, if you listen to that music, it's horrific at times. It's melancholy. It just matches the whole mood of the film, which goes from one end to the other. And this is one of those films that at the end, Rock Hudson's fate is so horrifying you can't even imagine. Seriously, it is just an amazing score. So that's all I have to say about that.
And see, that's where I was going with that is, like we were talking about with Night on Bald Mountain, that's a score that tells its own story, like completely tells its own story. I don't know what that story is exactly. I just know I don't want to be in it. It's definitely some spooky shit going on there, and I don't do spooky too good, you know. But it just, like, you're so stuck. I mean, it tells a story to you that you get kind of involved in, and you're like, there's moments where it's hard to breathe. You're like, oh, God, I hope the happy music comes soon, because otherwise I don't think I can handle this tension.
It's one of those things where, you know, everybody hears the music, but who feels the music? And I think every song so far tonight, we've all felt it.
Absolutely.
I am definitely inclined to agree there. And actually, that is a perfect intro for my next piece, which is another instrumental, very classic. I Cannot Have Halloween Without This Song. I was actually first introduced to it in the fifth grade in a music class I was in, and we watched this really crappy, you know, projector video of this, like, animated film that they did for this song, and it's always been one of my favorites, and it's one of those ones that follows me, and I'm sure you probably are very familiar with it, Carl, but I'm going for Dance Macabre, like the Halloweeniest Halloween song ever.
By Camille Saint-Saëns. And here we go, Dance Macabre.
Thank you.
That one sounds like a ghost party I'd want to go to.
of all the instrumentals we heard tonight, that one definitely was the most intense. And I see why that song has stuck with you since the fifth grade.
It has ever since that day when we saw that video, and it was all these dancing skeletons and just crazy weird shit. And, you know, being from the South in a really, you know, rural area, you didn't normally see videos like that in school, so it was just one of those totally visceral experiences, and
oh, absolutely.
I just love it.
Huh, great choice.
Thanks,
by the way,
you.
The video you saw, I am almost positive, is the UPA cartoon to that. UPA was, they did like the Pit and the Pendulum, and they did very adult things for kids. And they did a lot of classical music, including 20th century, too. Sassans is basically late 19th. But, man, it's a great tune. I remember being introduced to that by my mom, like, when I was 4 or 5, and just loved it. So, oh, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Definitely my top pick for, like, favorite Halloween song. I just, that gets me in the spooky mood. And I promise you, if you weren't, like, creepy swaying and doing the conductor hands just automatically, you probably weren't listening to that song.
I was the end, boy. When I, you know, what a finish. What a finish. And,
well,
Rachel, being our child of the 90s, how would you like to hear some Concrete Blonde?
I would never not love to hear some Concrete Blonde. Come on.
I thought as much. Their original name was Dream Six. And Michael Stipe from REM said, you need to change your name. And he came up with Concrete Blonde because they had such a hard sound, yet a softness to them. That's how he described it. And the song we're going to hear... You know, and their biggest album was called Bloodletting. So, you know, they had that you know, horror feeling to them with a lot of their songs. I looked at their track list from every one of their albums, and there's at least 2 or 3 songs on each one that could be a horror movie song. But the one we're going to hear tonight is called Your Haunted Head. And it's from their first album.
Whoop, whoop. Sorry. Sorry.
That's okay. It's from their first self-titled album, Concrete Blonde. This is Haunted Head. And it was in the movie, actually it's in two movies, The Hidden and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
Two. Okay.
Okay. No, it's two. Go ahead, Carl.
Here we go. You got it. Chainsaw Massacre 2 has some of the greatest soundtrack in the world. It's one of the best soundtracks ever, and that's a great song.
Good.
I mean, that definitely wins best air drum song of the night, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah. I always loved that band. You know, they put out so much good stuff. That song Joey, of course, was a hit for them. That was off Bloodletting. But great sound that band had.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to go in a completely different direction. And if you don't think Gregorian chant isn't creepy, I'm going to play you something. It's not going to be the whole thing. I'm only going to do a short excerpt of it. But this is the Dies Irae, which is the chant of the dead. And if you translate this from the Latin, it's like, you know, your soul's going to go down and be tormented forever and ever, and you're never going to, you know. And the thing about this particular tune, you may not know it, but I will tell you this. In almost every soundtrack, you can hear a little bit of this, including three of the Indiana Jones films, two of the Star Wars movies, and so many more. And it's also been used as a classical theme by Berlioz and Symphonie Fantastique. So these are Benedictine monks. I'm not sure they're drunk or not, but they're certainly Benedictine monks doing the Dies Irae. Enough of that because it goes on for like 7 minutes.
Well,
but you get the idea
get
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Da 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 da. That theme is throughout almost every horror soundtrack you can hear. Seriously, you will hear that all over the place.
Hey, join in if you know the words.
Yeah, I do actually. At least some of them, the first part of it. So, Rachel, do you recognize that?
I do. One of the many weird things I grew up listening to was a lot of Chance. My parents have very esoteric tastes, and my mom went through this phase for a while where basically all we were listening to was monks chanting and the occasional nuns. So, yes, I actually do recognize that. And, you know, having at least somewhat of a Catholic background, it's hard not to know that one.
Okay. So I think it's your turn now.
It is, and after all that, you're going to die and burn in hell because you suck and original sin and blah, blah, blah. I think I'm going to have to lighten the mood, Carl, and we're going to go with the Zombievers song.
I friggin' love this. TC,
this is like my new favorite jam, by the way.
TC,
I'm ready for this. I am ready for this.
Zombievers, you hear your sweetheart scream. She tells you why you don't believe her. She saw one in the bathroom. It's no lie, it's a zombiever, contaminated by toxic goo, a random genetic mistake. They're semi-aquatic, they're hungry for you. Boys and girls, stay away from the lake. Zombievers, 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 zombievers. A cheerful gang of college students think they're on vacation. Instead, they're dodging beaver chompers and facing their damnation. Don't board up the doorways and windows, my friend. It won't do any good. These furry brown bastards are fully equipped and they'll chew right through the wood. Say goodbye to your golden retriever, Zombievers. Zombievers. So brace yourself, you've never witnessed rodents quite like these. Oh, Jesus. Jesus Christ, you can't escape. They've blocked the road with trees. Check your bodies for scratches. You can't be too careful. The claws are a cause for concern. Yes, once you're infected, it's only a matter of time before you turn into zombievers.
Spoiler alert.
Zombievers. Look out, they're coming through the wall. Your girlfriend's chewing off your phone. Zombievers. Zombievers. Zombievers.
Zombievers, baby.
Yes, that is a real song from a real movie.
Oh, beautiful.
Richard Cheese is very happy with that. Trust me. That's a singer by the name of Nick Amato. And actually, to be honest, I don't know if you know this, Rachel. This was Deviant Legion's theme song for about a year before you came on with us about 4 years ago. This was our theme song for the longest time.
Wow.
Oh, I love that too.
Yeah, it really had a theme song feel to it, you know? I mean, a Sinatra feel to it or something. You know?
By the way, you have to see the video to that. It's fucking hysterical.
Absolutely. I will vouch for that one. It is my new favorite jam. I will be cruising down the road blasting that at all times of year.
And the other thing about it too is if you like a horror comedy, that movie was actually in my top 10 of that year. It was, I think, number 10. But it's just a hoot. It's so much fun. Does not take itself seriously at all.
All right. That brings me to me, I guess.
Yes.
And this song is from A Nightmare on Elm Street 5. I don't know, how many did they have? I mean, this is off 34 of them. So anyways, this is by a guy named Bruce. This is by a guy named Bruce Dickinson, who actually had two stints with Iron Maiden. And here's the crazy part about it. When he gave up music, he became a pilot, an airline pilot, and then a charter pilot. And he actually ended up being the pilot on two Iron Maiden world tours. So I'll talk about coming back around. This song, in fact, was covered by Iron Maiden at one time. And it got to be a single in the UK, but it was never a single here in the United States. But the song is called Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter. And it's Bruce Dickinson, Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
Here we go.
On your linen, bite the pillow.
That's solid. That's definitely solid.
I'll agree. Definitely, I don't know if I've heard that one before.
Iron Maiden feel to it, doesn't it? And like I said, Iron Maiden did record that, and it's on one of their albums. But that was Bruce Dickinson who recorded it for that movie. And the story I read was the bass player from Iron Maiden watched, saw the movie, heard the song, said, "We got to record this." So that's how that worked out.
Well, that one was definitely rock solid. I enjoyed the hell out of it, but I also really like Iron Maiden, so definitely getting those vibes out of that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've never been a great fan of that type of music. I can appreciate it, but we're going to go completely the opposite way. And for my shortest song of the day, it comes from the soundtrack to The Wicker Man. And it's the last song that is sung in The Wicker Man when Edward Woodward finally realizes what's going to happen to him. And it's a very, very upbeat song until you hear Edward Woodward at the end. So here we go with Summer Is a Coming In. That movie is just absolutely just throws you for a loop, just destroys you. So go ahead, Rach. You were about to say something.
No, I don't think I was.
No,
oh,
I said
okay.
Bye-bye,
that...
Edward. Isn't that guy's name Edward?
Yes. God, that movie still, to this day, just gets me every freaking time.
Brilliant film. Brilliant film. There's a great story of Christopher Lee meeting Anthony, what was his name? I can't think right now, but the screenwriter. The screenwriter said, yeah, the title of the screenplay is The Wicker Man, and Christopher Lee looks at him, oh, this is a treatise on sacrifice. And he looked at him like, you son of a bitch. You know this? And he says, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Anthony Schaffer, that's who it is. Anthony Schaffer.
Absolutely perfect selection, I think. Especially to I guess that's one of our last ones for the night.
Yeah, you don't have another
one,
do you?
I got
one
left.
Okay,
and
go
I got
ahead.
Another one, but hopefully we'll get overtime.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I don't have a song left, so I think I'm passing it over to you, TC.
Okay, great. My next one and my last one is from the original Saw movie. It's by a band called Pitbull Daycare. They're an industrial metal band from San Antonio, Texas. they've actually opened for like Slipknot and Slayer, and I really couldn't find much more about them. But this song is called You Make Me Feel So Dead by Pitbull Daycare, and it's in the original Saw movie. Go ahead, Carl.
Okay, here we go. I like that.
How is that not just some head-bashing horror goodness right there? I love it when songs like that are the ending credits for movies, because it makes me want to just sit there and just listen to the credits, which I watch anyway, but it really makes the experience much more pleasant.
And if you saw, it, boy, that song just fits in perfectly for it, you know? I mean, gory, gory movie, gory, gory song. I picked it for my ending, and that's my last Halloween song for 2021.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's a perfect song to go out on.
I would agree, and hopefully we'll be going into overtime here in about 40 seconds, and if we do, then I will go through house cleaning because I don't have the time to do it now. But first, I just want to say to everyone, to TC and Rachel, that I thought your selections tonight were absolutely fantastic. Seriously.
I mean, guys,
thank
you. Guys, did we do
we
this? Did we
too.
just make the perfect adult Halloween party soundtrack? I think we're onto something here.
Well, you know,
we did three shows.
We did three shows on Halloween themes. And if you think about the math, over 50 songs. And I think we covered Halloween quite well.
I do, too.
I think we covered
it. And now we're in overtime.
Oh, nice.
So now I can do a little bit of house cleaning. So,
well, you got one left
we
for
don't
us,
have
don't
any...
you, Carl?
Carl,
didn't you have one left for us?
No, I don't.
Ah.
But we're going to end up with Zombievers, trust me. I think that's going to be the perfect out when we're done. But we're going to go into housekeeping right now. We don't have anything specifically set for tomorrow. And so just everyone enjoy their Halloween. Go out. If you have kids, get some candy. If you don't have kids, get some candy. Eat some candy. Yes. Okay, never mind, Carl. But Monday.
I'll tell you what I'm doing on Halloween night.
Okay, do
you know what I'm doing on Halloween night? I will be at the Thunderbird Cafe. I'll be at the Thunderbird Cafe in Lawrenceville, about 2 miles away from me, watching the Yonder Mountain String Band from Nederland, Colorado. Always wanted to see them at Red Rocks, but they're in my backyard, so I'm all excited about that. And, of course,
by the way, TC, plug your YouTube.
Oh, yes. Okay. I have a YouTube channel. I go to a lot of shows. I shoot videos, and I put them up on YouTube. My YouTube channel is TCC77. That's capital T, capital C, capital C, 77. Please stop by. Enjoy my videos. Give me a like.
Okay.
All right.
So Monday, we're doing something very special, and I'm going to give it to Rachel.
So Monday, as you guys know, if you've been listening at all over the past month or so, is the day that I am so, so excited for, not just because it's Day of the Dead, not just because it's also All Saints Day, not just because it's my family-versary of 24 years. I'm so happy for my parents. They're enjoying a nice honeymoon right now. We are going to have one of my favorite writers on the show. That would be the author of Pontypool Changes Everything and the screenwriter for the movie Pontypool, and that would be the one and only Tony Burgess. We're doing that at Monday night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and I am so beyond stoked.
Yes, and I just want to clear up that this is going to be through XB Planets, which is John Killian's website and his group, his podcast group, and we're going to be doing it on Zencastr, so it will not be on Blog Talk. And it will take a couple of days for it to be edited and put up. So, but we're recording that on Monday. Now, on Tuesday, we're back at Block Talk, and we have a very close friend of mine, Heath Lawrence. And Heath will be with us. He is a writer of detective fiction and horror short stories. He has a new novel coming out. He also has a number of his compilation of horror short stories coming out and being reprinted, and he's a wonderful guy, and please join us for that. And so I also want to say that a week from today at TC, I think I mentioned this to you, but this is now definitely set. We are going to have a special guest on Down the Rabbit Hole / Carl's Cavern. And her name that she goes by is Jenny Lenz. Jenny is a photographer, and she's based on the West Coast, and her whole thing was being a photographer for the West Coast punk scene in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, nice.
And she also just sold... Go ahead, TC.
No, you did mention that to me, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
So we're going to have her next week. And she just sold a number of her photographs for the upcoming Rolling Stone issue. So and she has a strong website and some wonderful. She's wonderful. You'll love her. So we're going to do that next Saturday.
Saturday. Okay, good. I'll be able to tune in.
Yeah, we'll do it at 8 o'clock, just like we do our music.
Okay.
Shows.
All right.
Okay, and of course, we want you there. Absolutely.
I can be there.
Okay, good. Good.
That'd be exciting.
And
I'd love that. Okay.
Okay, so that's what we're going to have. And guys, I think tonight and your music and everything that we did, I thought we did a really good job. And I want to thank both of you.
I think all three shows were wonderful, and I like how we broke it up into serious and then novelty and then soundtracks. And we covered it all. Like I said, if you total it up, it's probably about over 50 songs, and we covered all of them quite well. So,
absolutely. And thank you guys for being on this journey with me this month. It is my favorite time of year, so it was great that I got to spend a lot of it with you two fuckers.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
I want to wish everybody a happy Halloween. I want to wish everybody a happy Dia de los Muertos, which Rachel mentioned as Day of the Dead. It's actually a 2-day celebration. So, and it's funny. I read a lot about it because, you know, of course I'm familiar, but everybody's thinking, oh, it's just, you know, follows on a Halloween, but no, it's a celebration of death. It's if you look back into the history of Day of the Dead or you know, Dia de los Muertos, it's like they invite the dead to come eat dinner with them and sing and dance with them and everything. And it's really a fascinating holiday. So read up on it. It's interesting. And I'll be celebrating it. I'll be looking for all my dead friends to come join me.
Absolutely.
But I sure appreciate my live friends, Carl and Elaine and Rachel Elaine.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And I can't wait till 2 weeks from now when we do this again.
Absolutely.
And we need to head together and figure out what that's going to be, but we can talk about that later. So I just want you all to have a happy, safe Halloween, and I'm going to say goodbye.
Absolutely.
Right,
happy Halloween. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.